We are in for a treat this weekend, KCC. I know that there's been a lot that has happened in this service already. We've baptized, we've honored graduates, we've seen our students lead us, and then we have a guest speaker with us for Student Ministries Weekend. Now, the cool thing about it is that she grew up here in the life of KCC. And for me, I think that there ought to be something emotional about seeing someone who was once 11 years old, given an opportunity to lead in the life of the church, now standing up on fire for Christ. Our guest speaker is Olivia Eckert. You just saw her on stage. She just graduated from Indiana Wesleyan University. And it was just 3 years ago that she was on the stage as a high school graduate. And she is going to continue in our sermon series that we call it Sugar Free. Now, before she comes up, I do want to give greetings and a shout out to our Nagpur, India campus, and also the young people watching at the Kent County Juvenile Detention Facility. Would you celebrate? We're able to reach them. And here's what I would challenge you to do. I believe that God has given Olivia a challenging word to share with us this weekend. And I believe that for students, you can look at Olivia and see a glimpse of what we really hope for all of you. That if you're a young person now, that we believe that at some point we will be passing the baton of church to you. You'll be the leaders. And, you know, we would love it if all of our students would be clear on who God is and what God is calling them to do. And also for the older folks in the crowd. And I just believe that as we hand off the church to the next generation, there's a couple questions that always permeate my mind. Do they want what we're giving them? And is what we're giving them healthy? And it's healthy as we press into God and see what God has for us and live it out. Olivia is going to challenge us in that way. KCC, would you give a warm KCC welcome to Olivia Eckert as she comes to share this weekend?
Thank you, Kyle. I really appreciate that. It's so good to be back in my home church. And like Kyle said, I just graduated from Indiana Wesleyan with my Christian ministry degree. And part of my call to ministry started here, in this building, in this place. When I was 11, I was about this tall, and I played a guitar about this tall, and I would try to hold it up there and play like three chords, and it wasn't very good, but someone let me lead, and because of that, God opened doors for me to feel called to do ministry, to start a ministry called Enlightened, where I now help students across the Midwest lead worship events in their high schools, and what a privilege it is to see what students are doing. They do such a good job at leading us, and it's so fun to watch, so I just want to thank you for investing in us, for investing in people in this place, because it's forever changed my life. And I'm so privileged to be a part of this series, Sugar Free. And last week, Kyle shared a sugar free statement that his grandma said to him, so I had to think of my own statement. It was when I was about 13 or 14 in middle school, I was leading worship for one of our middle school services, and we were leading a song called Our God. Anyone heard of that song? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. One of the parts of that song was a little bit high for me to sing, and I got a little nervous about it. So I was belting it out, and I was trying to, you know, hit the right notes. When it came time for the service, and we were actually leading this song in worship, I got so nervous, I started singing about two keys higher than what we were actually playing in. If you're a musician, you know how painful that is. If you're not, you still know how painful that is, okay? Because as I looked out in the room, everyone was standing there like this. The whole time. I think I was the only one singing. And I was so embarrassed. I got off the stage and I looked down. I didn't want to talk to anyone because I didn't want to talk about it. And this one adult leader who's a good friend came up to me and he said, Olivia, that last song, that was in a little bit of a different key, wasn't it? I said, yeah, did you notice? He went, oh yeah. It's like, all right, no need to sugarcoat it. That's okay. So that's my sugar-free statement. There's also a sugar-coated statement, you know, the opposite I thought of the other day, really makes me laugh. So I have two little sisters. One's Lauren. She was just up here. She finished high school. And I have another sister named Sophie. We're 8 years apart. So there's a big age gap there. We kind of grew up in different times of life. For a long time, I think she looked at me as the bossy older sister, and firstborn children, you may relate to me in that. But I just kind of told her what to do. She did not like that. And she would tell me this. So one night she wrote me this really cute little note, and she was so young that she couldn't really even spell. And you'll see in this note, because I have a picture of it right here, "You are kind of nice." I don't know. She was kind of trying to tell me to calm down a little bit. You're not the boss, okay? But I still have that note. It's one of my favorites. We have these sugar-coated statements, and a lot of the times we give those out. But you know what I love about this book? It's full of sugar-free truths that we get to dive into. So we're going to open to the book of Galatians if you have your Bible. We're going to continue. It's a couple books after the Gospels in the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 1, where Paul is writing this letter to the church of Galatia, where a lot of people who were once Jewish were now Christians following Jesus. But there's still this mindset that they're wrestling with of legalism. And legalism is trying to live by the law and trying to do the right thing to earn their faith, to earn favor with God. And so Paul writes them this letter, and we're going to pick up in verse 11 where he shares his story. It says this: "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard in my previous ways of life in Judaism how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me." Paul is sharing his call to do God's ministry. And by doing so, he shares his testimony. He shares his story. And he has such an amazing story of transformation, because the one who was once against the church of God was now living to serve the church. And he says this at the end of the passage. He says, "They praised God because of me." It's a big statement. He's not saying that arrogantly, but confidently, because he could look back at his story, back at what God had done in his life, and say that it was true. And we're going to unpack that this morning. But if I could be sugar-free, if I could just be real with you right now, if we could look at our lives and how we live out our faith, and if we had a because of me statement, what would our lives say? Maybe not what we would say verbally, but what would our lives say because of me? I'm so convicted by that question, because I think about all the things that I invest time in, all the things that I put my resources into and that I prioritize. One of those things is music. I love music, okay? I love listening to music. I love playing music. I love sharing music with other people. If you ask me about my favorite band, I could talk for days. So for me, maybe this blank could be people enjoyed great music because of me. Or I love to have fun, okay? I think if you can't laugh at life, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're not doing it right, okay? Anyone with me? You know, we love to have fun. So for me, with a lot of my friends, I could say, well, my friends had a lot of fun because of me. My friends got to laugh a lot because of me. Or, I have a confession to make, Starbucks made a lot of money because of me. Anyone with me? Okay, just me? Okay. But I really want to be able to look back at my life and say, people praise God because of me, because of how I lived my life. That's why this statement is so bold, and it's so important. There are three important things from this passage that contribute to his because of me statement. First of all, let's look at Paul's past. Paul's name actually was originally Saul. So he was a Jewish religious leader who was pursuing the law. He lived by the law. That is how he lived. He went by the rules and the regulations. It says in verse 14, he was zealous for the traditions of his fathers. This was the traditions passed down to him. And he was working to earn his faith. He was working, and he was really good at it. It also says in verse 14, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. He was really good at following the law and following the rules and looking good and looking religious. He was really good at that. The thing about Saul, too, was he was killing Christians in the meantime. We read in verse 13, for you have heard in my previous ways of life in Judaism how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. This is who Saul was. But then he has an encounter with Jesus, right? And we read in verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He has an encounter with the living God. And we can read in the book of Acts in chapter 9, how Saul is on the way to the city called Damascus. And while he is on the road, Jesus stops him and asks him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And in this story, we can read this transformation that happens in his life where the grace of God, like Paul says in this letter, not only just gives him a new name where he's not just Saul anymore, Paul gives him a new story. Jesus reveals a purpose for Paul's life. He had so much more than this life he was living that was leading to death and destruction of life, of working for God's favor. When Jesus just wanted him to know that he already paid the cost for his life on a cross, he was then and there given new life and called to go and share that with others. And we see in all these books, we can read all of his letters and the accounts of his life in the New Testament. Paul starts living out this transformation. We see a man who was once pursuing the law, now pursuing the Lord. Who was once trying to work to earn his faith, is now humbly accepting the grace and transformation that happens from the inside out from Jesus. And the man who was once killing Christians is now willing to die for the cause of Christ. And this kind of transformation did not happen on his own doing, did not happen by any religious leader's doing, by anything of this world's doing, only because of Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, can someone who was once in captivity to legalism, once in captivity to sin, to actually be a person who is changed to go and preach freedom and life to people. Because of that, and only because of that can Paul, not arrogantly, but confidently say, they praise God because of me. Because it wasn't Paul. It was the author who wrote this transformational story. And this is our testimony when we choose to live this out, when we choose to follow Jesus. Because every single person in this room, we have a past. I mean, that's kind of how time works. We all have a yesterday, we all have a 10 minutes ago, but we all have a past. But we know, church, that any past of pain or hurt or sin has nothing on our God, amen? Nothing on our God. The devil wants you to think otherwise, but he's speaking lies. God wants you to know that your past does not predict your purpose. What he has for us, what he has for you, is so much more than what your past says you deserve. Heard this great quote last week from a book called Uninvited. It says, God's love is not based on us, but placed on us. That's good. Because yes, we may have pasts we're not proud of, but we serve a God who sees past what is behind and looks forward to the purpose that he has for us. And many of us have experienced that when we have had our own encounters with Jesus Christ. Whether you've known Jesus your whole life or became a believer yesterday, you know there is something special about an encounter with the living God who is still doing what we read about in this book. He is still saving and changing lives. He is still bringing light to darkness, and he is still making us new. So we can live out this transformation ourselves. The thing about Paul's life of transformation is people noticed. I mean, we read in verse 22, he said, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he tried to destroy. People noticed the guy who was once killing Christians was now hanging out with them. People noticed. And so when we choose to live out our faith and live this life of transformation that Christ gives us, people will notice. People will notice when you don't gossip. People will notice when you're generous. People will notice when you don't take the recognition. And people will notice when you love people who may not even deserve it in that moment. And they may ask why. I heard a great quote from this theologian. You may know him when his quote comes up on the screen. But he said once, I want to live a life. Do you know him? He's pretty smart. I want to live a life that calls for explanation. I want to live a life that calls for explanation. Man, I heard that and I was so convicted, and I decided for my life that I want people to ask why I live the way I do so that they can know the one I live for. I want people to ask me why I live the way I do so that they can know the one I live for. Because listen, we don't live this transformed life to be noticed. That's not what living for Christ is about. Because we have been given the privilege of being a part of God's work. We have been called to do his ministry on earth by sharing the good news and sharing the gospel. And there are so many creative ways that God is using you already to share his gospel through your ministries, through your businesses, through art, music, sports, at your workplaces, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, and in your homes. These are the places where God has called us to have influence and to live differently. But I've decided and have been so convicted that in these places, I want to live a life where people ask why I live the way I do so they know the one I live for. Because it can be really easy when God calls us to these places of influences to get a big head. Oh boy, it can be really easy to turn our because of me statements into our own praises. But really the thing is, God really does call us to do incredible things. We can so easily put in this blank, people have clean water because of me. That's awesome. Or we could say the hungry were fed because of me. That's amazing. We could say students have a good education because of me. I mean, all of you here, you lead ministries, businesses, you teach students, you save lives in hospitals, you're good parents, you're good influencers in this world. But whatever your because of me statement is, I also want to challenge you with this question. Who gets the praise because of you? Who gets the praise because of me? Because yes, we have a part in God's ministry. Yes, we have influence. It's important to use the gifts and abilities that God has given you for his glory, to do good things. But we don't do that to earn anything, right? That's why Paul is writing this letter, to speak against legalism. It's not about what we do, but what God has done and is doing. And what a privilege he chooses to do his ministry, not just with us, but through us. What a privilege. Every year at Indiana Wesleyan, there's a conference called Fusion that takes place for high school students. And college students actually get to plan and lead this conference. And I've had the privilege of being on that team for the past couple years. And we have a Christian concert and worship and the Word, and students come and their lives are changed. And we've seen it time and time again. And this year, our team felt like God wanted to move mountains. We didn't know what that meant. We just knew he wanted to move mountains. So we started praying. We even asked our student body for prayer requests. We gave out little cards that had mountains on it and said, how can we pray for you? And we committed to praying for those things for a month leading up to our Fusion conference. I can't tell you all of the heartbreaking prayer requests we got on those cards. Students needed healing. So we wanted to pray for God to heal people on our campus and to heal the students that were coming to our campus. And we felt like out of obedience, we needed to open up the microphone the first session that we had and ask people to come forward and testify about the mountains that God was moving, because people needed to hear that he still does move mountains. Me and another student were given the opportunity to lead this response time. And so we were getting ready, we were preparing for what we were gonna say, how we were gonna invite people. And the night before, in the morning of, God started stirring in our hearts and kind of stopped us in our tracks and said, I have so much more for this than you know. And we felt like God was saying, there are people who need to be healed in this room and I want to heal them. And let me tell you, when I felt like this is what we needed to do, I was so terrified. I wanted to run away. I did not want to be up there. I did not want to be a part of that. I've never been a part of anything like that before. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. But our team was just so sure that if this was God, he would make it happen. He would make it happen. So when it came time for this response, we got up there and we invited students to come forward to the many people surrounding the front of our chapel, asking them if they needed healing to come forward and to pray. I don't know the numbers, but hundreds of students came forward asking for healing that morning. Hundreds. There were lines down every aisle of the chapel. Every aisle, there were people waiting for spiritual, emotional, relational, physical healings, and we saw it happen right in front of us. We saw God heal people. And what was supposed to be a 55-minute service turned into 3.5 hours of confessing sins, of seeing people healed, and hearing the testimonies of God moving mountains. And I know that our team, after experiencing that, we can step back and not arrogantly, but confidently say, people praised God that weekend because of us, not because of anything we did. We didn't heal one person. It was what God did in and through us in that room. And he gets the praise for the life change that happened, for the transformation that happened in that room and continues to this day. He gets the praise. And I look around this room, and I see so many people who have been such great examples of this, of living this out, where their because of me statements truly point back to the one who's written their transformation story. And I want to thank you for the life that you've lived that's been an example for me. And I want to ask you to keep continuing to share those stories of transformation and giving God the glory, because people are praising God because of you. Thank you. It has really reminded me that whatever I do, however I fill in this because of me statement, I need to ask first, who gets the praise because of me? And church, I pray that together we give all the praise back to God for the things that he has done in and through us every time. It's a verse that really encourages me in this. It's from Ephesians chapter 3. And it says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. We talked about his power last week. His power is at work within us, at work within you, because you are called and you have a purpose to live this out. You have a story to share and a gospel to preach. So whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever platform of influence you have in your circles and your friends and your family, and whatever your because of me statement is, who will get the praise because of you? Pray this is how we live our lives, asking this question. So I'd love to pray for you before you go now. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you came to this earth, you died, but you rose. This new life has given us new life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the transformation we've seen happen in the life of this church. For the stories during baptism, the stories we hear in small groups when we're talking with each other, how we get to share the good work you are still doing. We're so grateful. I ask that you would remind us time and time again how you are working in and through us. because, Lord, we want to give it all back to you for your glory, in your name alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.